Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move. Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo! Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Good morning.
Wonderful change has come over me.
Yes, indeed, it's all about the change. Woo! You ask the great spirit, source, divine intelligence, God, Jesus, Buddha, whatever name you want to call it. When you say, I want to be more of who I am, be ready for the change. Some change you can plan for. Some happens, and you're like, well, wait a minute, whose idea was this? But you're in it. It's about change. Are you ready for your change? You better be, because it's going to happen anyway. Yes, indeed, a change has come over me. Experiencing the change together, individually and collectively, and we are here supporting each other as we go through and grow through our change. That's the only reason we're here. We're here to be more, to let go of what's not serving us anymore. More importantly, to let go, period, so you can remember and reconnect with the truth of who you are. On this playground called Earth, we accumulate stuff. We put this on an identity and stuff, and I'm this, I'm that. But then when you decide to walk, well, you can, the fact that you're on this planet, you're already decided to walk on a spiritual path. But there comes a time in your soul evolution where you say, there's got to be more. I know there's more. I want to experience more. I want to experience myself. I want to experience the truth of who I am. I want to live from a place of authenticity. Woo! The universe says, "Woo! I've been waiting for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you." What you got to do when the universe is doing its work, her work, his work, you got to hold on. You need some loving being sometimes to just hold you. Woo! Yes, we are talking about change today. Change. That was Nikki Harris with the Agape Choir. To find out more about them, you can go to agapelive.com, Agape L-I-V-E. That's one of the places anyway that I recommend. As you go through and grow through your change, keep Agape on your bookmark or on your GPS. And are there other places, there's Hillside in Atlanta, Hillside Truth Center. There's some places that you need to just, you know, they will assist you in holding on. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference because you're alive. You make a difference because you are here. You make a difference because you can hear this conversation. You're making a difference. You're being the change you want to see. Because something in you said, listen to the show, and you said yes. So simply by listening, you're making a difference. I am your host, Life Coach Ade. I'm here Monday to Thursday, 12 o'clock, 12 p.m. Eastern. To speaking of change, I'm just going to go forth and release and let go. Officially, the show goes on to 1:30, but there are times we go on to 2 o'clock. So today, we may go on to 1:30. We don't know. We'll see what happens. Yeah, I'm just going to release what it's supposed to look like. Yes. Welcome all of you in the chat room, on the phone line. Our guest is in the house. She's waiting. But actually, we've got two guests today. We're going to have Betsy Chassie first. She is one of the co-creator of What the Bleep Do You Really Know About This Thing Called Life? What do you really know? So she's going to be sharing her metanoia experience, a transformational change of heart. There's some changes that are just like kindergarten kind of changes. Then there's a high school kind of change. But ooh, there's some PhD kind of change that we all must go and grow through. And boy, you better hold us. Just coming up in a minute. Before we do that, let's do some announcements. I welcome all of you on the phone lines as well. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio. And let's do some announcements here. Speaking of change, those of you who are looking at the calendar saying, Betsy Chassie. I thought it was Carolyn Sutherland. Yeah, you're right. You did think, but change is the only thing that's constant. And thank God for God, everything always works out, will work out perfectly. So Carolyn Sutherland won't be able to. Carolyn. How about Caroline? Yes, that works. Caroline Sutherland won't be here. We're scheduling a date with her, and that's to be confirmed. And you get two for the price of none. So Betsy Chassie and Tammy McDowell, and I'm just really allowing the conversation. If I go with what I feel and I speak from what I was feeling the moment before the show started, I can say that it's going to be a transformational show. And I'm just going to stay in that you will be changed. We're all going through it. I'm going through it. So let's just join together and skip down this road of transformation. another big change here, Life Conversations Radio family. My co-producer, Betty Pegues, and co-host for Spiritual Tag Team, is no longer with Life Conversations Radio. And so I want to invite you all to send Betty lots of love, wishing her a lot of success in whatever she does. And I personally am grateful for our connection and what we did together. And for this, I'm eternally grateful. So change is the only thing that's constant. We keep moving, we keep embracing it, and we keep bringing new hosts and guests who can support you on your change. So today, as I say, we've got Betsy Chassie and Tammy McDowell. Tomorrow we have Paul Young, the author of The Shack. He's going to be joining us talking about seeing God in so many different ways. Wednesday we have Karen Hager, a psychic. She's going to be joining us and taking your questions. I know you guys love questions. And then on Thursday we have a returning guest, Sherry Cortland. Sherry was here, I don't know, a month or two, maybe 2 months ago, and just amazing. So she's coming back. We're talking about living in the here and now. That's how you move through change. You live in the here and now. When you live in the past, you get stuck. You get depressed. When you live in the future, what could happen? What if? You just get yourself in the knot, you get frustrated, you get fearful, but it's about being here now. All of you, I know you understand, we're all going through it and growing through it. Let me read a little something about my guest, because this is a little, and she can stay with us, she's going to stay with us for a short while. So let's jump right on in. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. One thing I need to do before I read the bio, as I turn from one computer to the other, I feel like I'm on a spaceship. Like, I wish I could just use my fingers. So here we go. Let's go here. We're taking your questions, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And make sure you press one on your keypad. And we're also taking your questions on the Ask Life Coach Ade fan page. Like page. Stop being so old school. Ask Life Coach Ade like page. Post your questions there and we'll get to it. Feel free to share your comments in the chat room and whatever I can get to, I'll get to. But your questions we're taking on Ask Life Coach Ade like page. And on the phone, which is a lot easier, 347-426-3346. Let me read a little bit about our first guest, Betsy Chassie. She's a mom, a filmmaker, an author, a radio host, and a blogger. Excuse me. A co-creator of the hit film, What the Blip Do We Know? So she's been part of the transformation on a big level. And the author of Metanoia, A Transformational Change of Heart, a short book of essays written as she moved through the painful process of divorce, reexamining her beliefs and venturing into a renewal of self. Now, that's a real change. That's a PhD kind of change. She is funny, irreverent, and thoughtful in her exploration of all things spiritual. She believed, and I so agree with her on this one, she believed if we aren't laughing, we are not growing and learning. I've learned to laugh through the change, and then sometimes I just got to cry through the change, whatever is needed. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychic and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my wonderful guest, one of two. And so here we go. Let me go to my guest here. Oh, let's try this again. Hello, Betsy. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on your show today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Everybody's excited. Can you feel the energy?
I can. I've been listening to you, and I'm just all revved up and excited now. I'm ready. What are we going to change today?
Let's see what we're going to do. Let's put the music on. Well, here's the first track we're going to play and see how we dance. This is the first track. And the first track is a question. I read a little bit about you, but from your point of view, from your perspective, who are you? Who is Betsy?
Chessy. God, that is a great question. I just did this incredible workshop this weekend for a film that I'm working with called Dreaming Heaven, and that was the that was really kind of the exploration of the weekend. The film is called Dreaming Heaven, and it'll be coming out and available in the spring. I don't know who I am. I'm learning who I am. I'm exploring who I am. I know, I can tell you what's in my world. I'm a mom, I'm a filmmaker, I'm an author, I do all of those things. But to say who I am is, it's a big answer, and I don't know that I have that this morning.
Mm-hmm. I understand. I understand. You are the everything and the nothing all at once.
That's right. There's a really funny Gumby show where there's a character named Prickle, and Prickle wants to be really famous, and so in the show he gets really famous, and then, you know, he's harassed and he's kidnapped and all these things happen to him because all he really wanted to be was famous. And then finally he realizes that he doesn't really want that, and he becomes unfamous. And the very last line of the cartoon is he says, "I'm a nobody and I'm glad."
I know, that's right. I'm famous for being a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody wants to know, why are you a nobody? How did you come to that conclusion?
Today I'm a nobody and I'm glad.
That's right. That's right. And there's so much in that. Well, okay, let's actually go. Before we talk about your book, which is my question is all tied in, and we also have a guest, a listener who has a question for you. But we want to tie this in, your book, Metanoia, A Transformational Change of Heart. Mm-hmm. And it talks about your experience. You talk about essays that talk about your experience that you went through, the change. And did this happen before What the Bleep Do You Know, Do We Know, or after?
It's so hard to say. I mean, you said it earlier, we're always changing whether we like it or not. You know, change is going to happen whether we want it to or not. So I think I've always been a work in progress. And What the Bleep was such an awakening experience for me because I really wasn't interested in spirituality kind of before I made The Bleep. I mean, I was the least likely person on the planet to make one of the most successful spiritual films of all time. So it was a perfect sort of storm in the sense of, here I am not really interested in being asked to make this film. So I had an incredible awakening of making that film. And then what happened is that I got really comfortable in knowing that I was awake and decided that I knew that I was awake and I knew everything because I'm awake, I'm aware of God. I've read all the books, I've been to all the workshops, I know all the buzzwords. I got this down, baby. So I don't really need to do anything else. And what happens in life is that I think sometimes the universe has a really good sense of humor. And so when you get really comfortable in your knowing that you know, the universe likes to say, well, really? Guess what? Nope, you don't. And so for me, I was living very comfortably in my life. And instead of myself deciding that I needed to grow and change, my world blew up and changed for me. And
right.
So
your world grew up? I love that.
Yeah, everything just went boom, nope, sorry, try again. And Metanoia is a book, it's very short. It wasn't even something I was actually going to publish. I published it because one of the things that I was issues that I was dealing with was being vulnerable, was that I really got comfortable in being the bleep girl and being the girl that everyone thought had it all together. And I mm-hmm. liked that persona that I had created for myself of being perfect and being wonderful and having knowing it all. So, you know, you could ask me anything because my life is so wonderful. So I wrote these essays as a part of my own exploration into accepting and knowing that I didn't know anything and that I should be vulnerable. And these are very, very raw, very emotional, very deeply rooted expressions of what I was feeling about not just getting divorced, but just everything in life, you know, relationships, people, belief systems, spirituality. You know, I got very angry at everything and very and decided that I needed to throw everything out and start over from scratch. And so these mm-hmm. essays are kind of an exploration into that. And they lead, they're about 19 essays, and it's very short. The book is $4.99, and you can buy it for an ebook, or you can buy it on Kindle, or you can buy the printed copy at Amazon. But they lead into my blog, which my blog is kind of a continuation, and you can find my blog at intentblog.com and just search for Betsy Chassie, or you can go to my own website, betsychassie.net, and you can find my blogs and my book and everything else that I'm working on there. But it was really just a way for me. My friend said to me, you know, you have a problem being vulnerable and being exposed as to not having it together, so what you should do is publish these essays, because if you're going to be exposed, you might as well go be exposed at the big, or vulnerable. You might, instead of just being vulnerable to the, you know, your really close friends, because that's really safe, you might as well just right. do it on a big, as big of a scale as you can. So publish these essays, mm-hmm. and that way everybody who reads the book will really know what's going on inside your head, and then you will truly mm-hmm. be vulnerable. So that was sort of my mm-hmm. practice in vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. So when you published a book to let people know what's going on in your head, what was that experience of vulnerability, those moments where you felt raw, when you were mad, what was that like in your heart?
It was a lot of emotions. I went through anger. I mean, grief is a process, I think, that happens whether you deal with death or you're dealing with loss. I mean, it's all kind of the same process. And mm-hmm. I normally wouldn't let myself really go through that process. I didn't really want to experience any of that stuff because, again, I was too together. So the book is you see me angry. You see me sad. You see me filled with joy. You see me have some realizations. And you see me awaken. You see some happiness. I mean, it's all kind of there. I mean, all the feelings are there. It's just me expressing them so that, as opposed to just being, you know, people who've met me, most of the times, you know, I'm happy, I'm gregarious, I'm out there, I'm, you know, I'm not shy, I'm all these things. But what the real me is actually kind of quiet, kind of shy, kind of reflective. Mm-hmm. And so I decided I wanted to be people to see, you know, gosh, instead of seeing, well, that girl has it all together, there's some comfort in knowing that the people that you think have it all together are as human as you mm-hmm. are.
Right.
And there's
right.
an accessibility. And one of the things that I was really grateful about the experiences that I got from publishing this book was that I have a radio show now called Life Unscripted, and I have a fan page. I've started my own fan page on Facebook because before I was just sort of going under the what the bleep thing. And I was so many people reached out to me, and I felt more connected to humanity than I had felt in a really long time.
Mhm, mhm, mhm. And as you talk in the whole thing about connection, you said earlier that, you know, you were not thinking about doing a spiritual movie, and what the blip is a global success. After going through that and your life was growing you up and you stepped in, what supported you as you were making the transition to go deep within yourself and reveal yourself after being known as the co-creator of What the Bleep? Because, like you said, people think, oh, yeah, wow, you're the co-creator. You got it together. You have no problems. You don't know what pain feels like. What kind of support system did you have to get you through how you see yourself and what you know yourself to really be?
Well, I mean, of course, I had really wonderful friends, and I'm really blessed with an opportunity to be able to be around some really amazing people who I've been able to turn to. I mean, luckily, I do what I love, and I'm involved with a lot of teachers and filmmakers and authors who spend a lot of time, you know, understanding these processes. So, you know, for instance, this weekend I did a really great workshop for this film called Dreaming Heaven, which was amazing and something that I probably would have never done because I would have thought, oh, that's too woo-woo for me. But I went for it, and it was a great experience. And, you know, because I'm working with them to bring their workshop and their process out to more people, this was sort of a trial workshop. We were kind of running through the motions with a small group to kind of get the workshop down. And so it was about, you know, opening myself up. The other thing I'm not very good at is a lot of people would say, you know, it's hard to get to know me. I don't let people in very often because I put on this great mask of a brick wall. And so I realized that I had a really wonderful support system of friends, but I also realized that I had a support system within myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went back to the source. And really connected with me again. And what, you know, finding out, you know, we get all these belief systems that we attach to ourselves all along through our lives, and they come through all sorts of different ways. And for me, the last, you know, 10 months have really been about deconstructing Betsy, deconstructing those belief systems, and then deciding, really, I think for the first time in a long time, really actually choosing my belief systems, really stopping and saying, does this really work for me? Because, you know, we, especially when you're on the journey, you read these books and you go to these teachers, and then all of a sudden you're really excited about what they had to say because, you know, they're very charismatic and you were in the room and it was all very energetic, and then so you grab onto it because you think, oh, this is going to work.
Yes.
But you know what? The truth is that it really might not work for you.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, being courageous enough to be able to say, you know, I don't believe that anymore. And even though it might be cool, because it sounds cool and it sounds like I really know what I'm talking about when I talk about, you know, something to do with quantum physics or because it all sounds like, wow, she's really smart. But you know what? I don't know that I believe that. So it's being okay with that.
Mm-hmm. There's so much we can say about that. And that's the thing, being able to challenge our own belief system. And just because someone we love, we adore, say something that we felt in the room, as you said, it's like, and we thought, oh, yeah, that works. But later on, we had the choice to say, that doesn't work for me anymore. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean, well, the person we admire is not great. It just means we're choosing our lives. And I love how you put that. That's it. That's really what change is about. That's what change is about. We're going to take a question. We've got a listener got a question for you. As you're just joining us, my guest is Betsy Chassey. Her website address is betsychassey.net. She is a mother. We've got to remember that's the first thing she is. Well, she's a mother because that's, and I tell people, I said, parenting is the highest form of spiritual practice. Parenting and then intimate relationship. Well, parenting is right up there. Ooh, gosh. And she's a filmmaker and author, the author of Metanoia, A Transformational Change of Heart. Number 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. We got an area code 780. Got a question for Betsy. How are you doing, sir? What's your name?
Hi, my name is Jay. How's it going?
You said James?
Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Jay. Where are you calling from, Jay?
Actually from Canada.
Okay, cool. What's your question?
My question is about, you were talking about beliefs just about a minute ago. I just wondered, if we were young and we formed those beliefs, well, you know, we look at our parents to being the teachers, but we find that those belief systems carried us through our lifetime, and it goes back to our parents. So how do we release those beliefs when we had no free will and choice or experiences to determine that those beliefs weren't valid?
Wow, that's a great question. It's a question that I've been asking myself a lot, Jay, because, you know, I wonder, the first thing you have to figure out what I'm working on is, what are my beliefs? And then I've sort of had to let go of where they came from. I mean, I can look and see where they came from, but that kind of ties me down. Then I get caught in a quagmire of, oh, well, I got it from my mom, and gee, my mom is this, and blah, blah, blah. What I do is I just really just look at what are the belief systems that I have, and, okay, where did they come from? Okay, they came from here. But then I just re-examine the belief. Like, you know, for me, I have a belief system that I'm not good enough, you know, and that belief system comes from the fact that I didn't go to college. So then I look at it and go, well, gee, am I a failure because I didn't go to college? And so then I have to really stop and go, well, who says I'm not good enough? Where is that coming from? And more often than not, what I see is that in the end, it's coming from me. Nobody around me is telling me that I'm not good enough. Everybody around me is actually telling me that I am good enough. I'm the only one that's saying I'm not good enough because I didn't do the college or I didn't do this path that would have made me, that doesn't have these letters behind my name. So I then have to think about what can I do to change that belief system. So in terms of, you know, maybe that belief system of I'm not good enough came from the fact that my parents were both teachers and my father was a college professor. So maybe there was a part of me that feels like I let him down. But then I have to let that go. I just have to say, okay, that was a past. And I don't have to attach to that anymore. You know, the reason that I'm on the show today, I just want to say, is because you were going to have Austin Vickers on the show, who created a really amazing film that really addresses this stuff from not just the emotional perspective, but also from the neurological perspective about how we get our belief systems and how our brain works. And it's called People Versus the State of Illusion. And it's playing in Tucson now, and it's going to open nationwide starting in March. And what I love about this film is that, for me, I'm a really logical person, and I'm not good in the woo-woo. You know, I don't do good in the sort of spiritual, you know, ethereal, you know, talk. I like straight talk. And what I love about the film People Versus the State of Illusion is that it really talks to you about the way your brain works and the way your body works and how you would get these belief systems and then how they become part of who you are. Then it explains how you can unravel them, because we are this incredible machine. We are a computer, and our brain works in a certain way, and just as how we attach these belief systems to us, we can then go back and unattach them. And I look at it like that. That's how I do it. I look at it from a purely technical perspective. Okay, if I'm a brain and I have attached this belief system of I'm not good enough, now I have to do the work. It took me 42 years to really ingrain that belief system. I don't want it to take 42 years to undo it, and it doesn't have to. It takes practice. You know, it takes whenever. So now when I start to have that emotional or thought of I'm not good enough, I literally stop and interrupt it and remind myself why I am good enough. And every day that I do that, it gets easier and easier. I was at this workshop today, this weekend, and this woman named Ginny Gentry, who's an amazing woman, you know, she talked to me about that, and she told the story about this guy who goes into, you know, he falls into the hole, and then he gets out and spends months in the hole. Then the next time he walks down the road and he falls in the hole again, and it takes him less time to get out of the hole. The next time he walks down the road, he falls in the hole. It takes him even less time to get out of the hole. The last time he walks down the road, he finally walks around the hole. You know, it's just practice. It's just practice and doing, you know. Did that answer your question? I hope.
Well, yeah,
not
yeah,
really
yeah.
A teacher, but...
of course you did. You did. Because you know, I was wondering that so the movie actually sounds really interesting. But thanks so much for the information. I just wondered, does your parents feel that they are supporting you as what you're doing right now, or they would like you to become still that person that they wanted to be, or you know, when because
yeah. You know, my father has passed, and my mother actually lives with me and helps me care for my kids. And you know what's funny is that I'm older now, and I can look back and realize that I actually was the one who decided that I wasn't good enough because of what I thought my parents wanted me to be. My parents have always been incredibly supportive. And as I raise my own children now, I see that, you know, I try really hard not to put on them any pressure to be anything that I want them to be. But I also see how they want to make me happy. So they're doing, it's not like I'm blaming my 7-year-old daughter, but she does want to please me. And I have to work really hard to let her know that what's going to please me most is you finding joy. But she's still going to attach things because it's just the natural human thing to do. She attaches, you know, gee, if I do really well in school, my mom will be happy. Even for me, if that may not necessarily be true, she might have created that thought process already. It's something that we do. You know, I created the thought process that I wasn't good enough. Now, I can look back and think about it in terms of what did my parents do, but in the end, I really did it all. You know, my parents never sat down and said to me, if you don't go to college, we're going to think you're a failure. You know, they never said that. You know, so I've put that in my head, whether I put it in when I was 7 or I put it in when I was 14, I still created that thought for myself. And so I can uncreate it. Even if they did say to me, if you don't go to college, you're a failure, I chose to believe that. So I still, for me, it's a really powerful and empowering realization to know that I have the choice to believe or not believe anything anyone says to me.
Right. Jay, does that help?
It helps actually quite a bit. I just, you know, when we're young, we can make choices now. But, you know, young is a totally different story, whether it's abuse or you know, how do you get it out of your system if it's been there for a
what you just said is you can make choices now. You know, and what Betsy was sharing back then is what happened, whatever you choose to believe in. But you can make choices now. So the question is, what choice do you want to make today?
Yeah, I mean, the greatest gift that we have is a new moment every moment. I mean, for me, I'm taking really great solace in that knowing that tomorrow I can wake up. There's an essay in my book called Choices. I think it's called Choices. It's in there. And what I talk about in that essay is that I have the choice every morning before I wake up. There's that that moment when you're just waking up and nothing's quite set in stone yet. There's nothing, none of the things that were true yesterday are actually true yet until you put your feet on the floor and you decide to make them true. So we have that magical moment where we get to decide what's true. And I cherish that moment because I did it this morning. It was the first time in a long time I'd actually done it where I had some time to kind of wake up really slowly and make choices about what I was going to believe today about myself that was true. And before I put my feet on the ground, I decided that I was good enough, that I was loved, that I was beautiful, all those things that I struggle with. I made them all true, and then I put my feet on the floor. And then the 47 times today where the thought came into my head that I wasn't good enough, I just stopped and said, no, I am good enough. I don't have to listen to that voice in my head. I can choose to, or I can choose not to. And whatever might have happened in the past to put that programming in my head doesn't matter because I have the choice to not not believe that.
All right. Thank you, Jay. Thank you. As you let that marinate and see what comes up for you, just be with it. We have another guest coming up. So we're going to keep the conversation going on, Jay. So you stick around, keep listening. And actually, before we let you go, anything else you want to share with the listeners? And I'm so honored and thank you for showing up and just being an example of the change we're talking about, and even not knowing, you know, you're not knowing what's to come, but you're willing and ready to say yes to the change. So anything else you want to add or share with the listeners before you go?
Yeah, I just want to say, be sure to check out the film People versus the State of Illusion. You can go to thestateofillusion.com and find out when it's going to be opening. It's an incredibly powerful film in terms of what we've been talking about. And, you know, you can always go to my website, betsychassie.net, and find out about what those films, any of the films that I'm involved with, my blog. And you know, it's amazing the gifts that we've been given, and I'm just in a space of reminding myself that I'm filled with gratitude for what I have. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to share. It's a great gift, and I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you for all the work you're doing personally and globally.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Life is good. It's getting better. Betsy Chassie. That's what I was going to say. It's going to be better with you. Yeah, Betty is better. Betsy is better. Life is good. It's getting better. Oh, life is truly, truly good. It's about change. Today we're talking about a change. A change is deep. Sometimes, you know, what Jay was talking about, and we're going to talk more about that. My next guest is Tammy McDowell. We're going to talk about working with belief systems. You know, how do we move through it when we remember the past in the present? How do we change it? How do we shift that? It's not about blame. If you choose to blame, that's one way to go through it. Because sometimes we blame enough to get to a point of saying this is not serving me. We're going to continue the conversation. I think we're going to call this next segment Breaking Open to Love. yes, I like that. Tammy and I are doing actually a conference coming up called Breaking Open to Love. So it'd be nice to call this new segment Breaking Open to Love. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And make sure you press 1 on your keypad. We are also taking your questions on the Ask Life Coach at a Life page. Yes, I got it right this time. yes. And we welcome all of you that just joined us in the chat room. Thank you all for being here. And we ask you to share the show with your friends by tweeting it, by texting it, and liking, clicking the like button on the page, especially if you listen online right now, or later on if you listen on the phone line. The shows are archived. You can download it. We're going to take a quick break. And then we'll be back with Tammy McDowell. We're talking about breaking open to love. You got to break open. You got to crack open. And if you're holding on, it's only so long that's going to take. Let's take a quick break, and we will be right back. And Les Brown, tell them why they need to keep listening.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello there. My name is Michelle Brown Stafford, child prodigy mom and parental involvement activist, urging parents to get involved in their children's education. At the age of 13, our son, Stephen Stafford, became the youngest ever to enroll as a full-time regular student in Morehouse College's 150-year history. This occurred only after well-meaning educators failed to identify our son's gifts in the classroom. Knowing who our son was, my husband and I got involved and prevented Stephen from falling through the educational cracks. So parents, get involved. Stay involved. Your child's potential is definitely worth it.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations. Committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage. Make that move.
Somewhere there's a nothing waiting to become something, fighting all the writing, hiding from the lightning. We are in the suburbs, racing to red lights, having close encounters far away from home.
Yes, indeed. You are part of a never-ending story. So keep dreaming because you are a beautiful dreamer. You are full of beauty. Beautiful dreamer, Caroline Malachi. Caroline. Why am I keep getting Caroline and Caroline? Caroline Malachi. And you can find out more about her by going to her website, Caroline Malachi. Or I used to say Malachi. Malachi, M-A-L-A-Q CHI.com, Caroline, Malachi.com. Beautiful dreamer, what are you dreaming about? Are you awake? Are you having a nightmare? Are you sleeping through the dream? Which part of the dream? Are you embracing the dream that you're feeling? You know, it's part of a never-ending story. We are here on a soul agreement. So whatever you're going through and growing through, it is all part of the process. And if you allow that process, if you allow the experience, the circumstances to do what it needs to do, and you can sit with it and you can just hold on, it would take you to a place that you've always dreamt about, that you've affirmed about, that you prayed about. You get to see, and not only see, but feel God. Then you get to have what is known as a personal relationship. You got to taste it. My next guest is Tammy McDowell, my dear friend, my sister. Also, we co-host together with some other Alea and Elaine Marie on a show called Wake Up Lightworker. Let me read a little bit about Tammy. Tammy is the founder of Healings of the Heart and Gathering of Love, because that's what it's about. You got to heal the heart, and then you can gather love. Healing of the heart, healings of the heart, and gathering of love. She is a master teacher and the creator of the Next Generation Reiki. She specializes in assisting others through their transformational awakening. Tammy is a soul communicator who reads the energy of her clients to locate blocked or restricted energy flows and bring forth the messages their soul wishes to communicate. You know, I am just so grateful for how life is turning out and how everything is happening. Let's do this first, let's do that, let's do this, and let's see. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my wonderful friend, Tammy McDowell. Here we go. All right, I can calm down now. We've got a show to do. Hey, Tammy, how are you doing?
Woohoo, that was wonderful. Oh, my gosh. You know, I used to love you so much. You have been such a great friend. That was hilarious.
You know, it's all about fun over here. It's all about fun. You've got to laugh your way through life. You know, I know you, and you know you, and some of the listeners know you from different things that you do. But I want to ask you, because I've got to ask you this, from your point of view, from your perspective, from how you see yourself, who are you? Who is Tammy McDowell?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that question. Why did you have to ask me that question? Who am I? I am me. I am me who is walking through this journey. I am me who is walking through this path. You know, sometimes me is confused. Sometimes me is frustrated. Sometimes me is so much in alignment that I feel like I'm floating. Sometimes me is just good. Sometimes me is great because I have you as my friend. I have you as my guiding light that says, Tammy, don't do that. Wait, no, just give yourself a hug. That's who I am.
I hear that. Yes. Isn't that the journey, though? We talk about a transformational change of heart or breaking out, breaking open to love. And it's really about being able to hold ourselves, being able to be gentle with ourselves. And I find that, you know, when I'm working with people or talking to people or sharing with friends, that tends to come up a lot more. And that's what I'm finding in my life because, you know, I can be my worst critic because I'm on myself, like, come on, you know this, you know that, why are you going through this? But I've actually found I'm now at a place where I can just allow myself to be. Now, like you said, there are moments when I get into that, oh, I can't believe this is happening, why is this happening to me? And there are moments when I say, it is what it is. I'm going to get through it.
The moments when I wake up, I feel heavy. The moments I wake up and I'm excited, I'm overjoyed. The moments when, you know, I feel like I can take on the world and lift the planet all by myself. And then sometimes I can't even lift my own leg, you know. So it's like being able to embrace it all. So the first question I want, well, second question or whatever. Yeah, who's counting? Let's talk about this transformation.
Who's counting? Quit counting.
Yes. Transformational change of heart. Or this segment that I'm calling Breaking Open to Love. When you hear that, when you let that sit with you, what comes up for you? What's been your experience, really? Let me ask that. What's been your experience when you hear Breaking Open to Love?
How much time do we have on this show?
We got all the time we need because we run this joint.
Oh, you know, when you hear that Breaking Open to Love, it's the journey, you know, it's the path. It's how we got to this place, how I got to this place. You know, I know that some people know me and know my story, and just to give you the 2.2-second version of it, most of my life has been abuse. You know, I was sexually abused by my grandfather. I was physically abused by my father. I was physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually abused by both of my husbands. It wasn't until the last 10 years, you know, that I was on my own, that I really started to look at myself and go, what's wrong with me? You know, what is it about me? What is wrong with me? And I always thought that I was broken. I always felt that I was damaged in some way, that how can anybody love me? Look at everything that happened and look at what I went through and look at why all these people were so mean to me and hurt me. So it was really, it was that mirror for me. You know, I woke up one morning and I looked in the mirror and it's like, who are you? I don't even know who you are anymore. Mm-hmm. And it really started my journey. I really just wanted to wake up to who I was. I knew that there was something more. There had to be. It couldn't just be abuse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole journey just kind of, the whole path, it was just one experience. Something good would happen, and I'd be like, yay, you know, I did it. And then as soon as I got to that point, something else would happen. And I'd find myself on the floor, and you and I talked about this, you know? I'd be sitting there going, wait, that just happened. I don't get it. I thought I was doing this good. I thought I was doing this right. But when I think of breaking open to love, there comes a point, I think, where there's acceptance and there's that surrender. Because when you think about it, in the end, the only thing that we have is just love. You know, it's that one common denominator that we all just have. It's just love. And I used to think that it was love, you know, I had to love all these people. I had to, even if I didn't like you, I had to love you. And I thought, how can I do that? How can I love someone? I had an experience, a couple weeks ago that you and I talked about. Someone very dear to me and very close to me has a problem with alcohol. And it just so happened that that problem just kind of came out when I was there a couple weeks ago. And it was very damaging to me because there was a very rough and very mean-spirited conversation that took place, and it was very hurtful. Mm-hmm. And all I wanted to do was just wrap my arms around her and just say, but I love you, and I couldn't. I was so mad, and I was so angry, and I was so hurt by the things that were said. And you and I had talked about it. That was a big breakthrough, a big opening for love for me, because you said to me, you can't give to someone something that you don't have. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we went on to talking, and the biggest thing, the biggest breakthrough for me was a conversation you and I had where you said, it's not about loving that person who was mean-spirited to you. It was about recognizing your own pain and your own hurt and loving that. That was huge. That was a big breakthrough for me. One of many, and I know we're going to talk about all of those too.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, and that's the point. That's the point. That's the time. That's the moment when real shift happens, when real change happens, because people are in our lives and that trigger us, and or we have an experience that triggers us. And we may think, we may say, if the experience is the person, is the situation, if I had enough money, that would have happened, or if I had the perfect mate or the perfect partner, that wouldn't have happened, or if I grew up in a different neighborhood, or whatever the case may be. But the truth is, when we are experiencing that pain that goes beyond words, that it's we rather die, that is a moment to really, really heal. That's a moment to love ourselves, the love that we feel or felt we didn't get when we were younger. That's the moment. Now, we're going to continue this love conversation. We're going to continue about breaking open to love, because it's all tied in when we talk about a transformational change of heart. It's about the transformational change of heart is opening yourself up to the truth of who you are. We're not talking about emotional love, but we're going to stick a pin real quick and flow into, here we go, my voice. Let's flow into Celestial Moments with Celeste Morgan, and she warned me about this. She said, don't bring me on without playing my song. What's wrong with you? I need to hear my song when you bring me on. And, ow, she really chastised me. I'm still hurting from that pain. No, she didn't. No, I'm making it up. You guys know I'm making it up. So, anyway, Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan is right now. And we'll be back with Tammy. Hey, Celeste, how are you doing?
I am great. I was enjoying Betsy. But Tammy McDowell, I love me day, Tammy. I was listening to you guys this morning from last year, Valentine's Day. That's one of my favorite shows, actually. I mean, outside of Life Conversations Radio Network. Good afternoon, family. Hello to all of you. My name is Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace what is showing up in your life right now. It's Monday, February 6, 2012. Add the date, and you get 2020. Add 2020, and the energy of the day equals 4. 4 is about order, groundedness, and balance. 4 also belongs to an Orisha by the name of King Shango, who is the keeper of the drum. The fourth letter of the alphabet is D. Words like drum, dance, and direction connect to power. Our heart chakra is our fourth chakra, and that's where we receive and give love. 4 is the emperor in tarot. 4 is also the deer in medicine cards. Today, the spotlight is on a dance between the emperor and the deer. Combining these two help us to tap into strength, courage, and wisdom. Alexander the Great makes an appearance on my letterpiece tarot card for the emperor. We see an uptight man holding fast to his power. This is the card you want to come up reversed, okay? Upright, you are blocking your own flow. Reversed, the emperor rejects domination and abuse of power, becoming more loving and approachable. The emperor has decided to dance with the divine instead of yelling, mine. But it's okay if you want to throw a tantrum. You are launching rockets of desire in that moment. Find out where the emperor is pointing and follow the lead of the deer. The deer knows that there is power in a gentle approach and more opportunity to allow the universe to bless you effortlessly. The emperor and the deer teach us that a true leader leads from the heart. For what has a man profited if he shall gain the world and lose his own soul? And that's the story of 4 through Mother Peace and Medicine Cards. All is well. I'll see you on Tuesday around 1 for another Celestial Moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate you for all you do. We'll see you tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, or around 1 o'clock, like you said. You say it correctly, around 1. You're listening to Ask Life Coach at A on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We're taking your calls, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And, I got to listen to my intuition. I got to listen to the times when I'm not really thinking. Because when I'm not really thinking is when I'm doing real thinking.
I think. Yes, it is Caroline Malachi. I knew I was calling Caroline Mal. I don't know why I said this song I played earlier, Beautiful Dream, is Caroline Malachi. So to find out more about her, go to Carol. No, not Caroline. Caroline. Caroline Malachi.com is where you can find out more. We're talking about dreaming. We're talking about a never-ending story called life. We've got a caller. Jay has a question for Tammy. We'll come to you in a minute, Jay. Tammy, before we get to Celestial Moment, we're talking about this thing called love. And I want to ask you, what is your definition of love now?
My definition of love now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my definition of love now has shifted from what it once was. I used to have the definition that love hurts.
Mm.
Now I have I have a definition that love heals.
Now we can let's just stop right there. Love hurts. Because I've heard people say, I can't do love. It's just too painful. I'm not doing this love thing anymore. Let's speak on that. Let's speak on this love hurts so we can bring to a place where we move to this love heals.
Why did you ask me? No, I'm just kidding.
I said, let's speak to this thing. I want you to speak to the shift. When you talk about, you should have a definition of love hurts. And it is a process. It's a breakdown of our belief system. It's as Betsy shared earlier, you've got to really look at your own belief system and say, does this work for me? Talk about moving from the belief system that love hurts to a belief system that love heals.
You know, I think that when I was in that part of my life where love physically hurt, I think love has many faces. I think we walk through many different directions, many different pathways down the path of love. And I think early in my life, I had that feeling that love hurt because it physically hurt. You know, I felt it on every level of my being. I felt it in my physical body. I felt it in my emotional body, you know, the mental body, the thinking body, and the feeling body, and definitely the spiritual body. But I think making that shift into it hurting physically to being painful,
mm-hmm.
I think the pain, had a lot to do with mirrors. You know, when there's someone in your life, whether it's your partner, your spouse, your friend, you know, your coworker, we always mirror in other people those things that have come to the surface for us to heal and to release. And so when you find pain in any kind of a relationship, as you call them, gifts, it brings us that opportunity to really look at what stands between you and really opening yourself to just being in that place of unconditional love. Because when we talk about breaking open to love, it's not about loving someone else. It's not about being in that emotional love, that family love, you know, love for your children. It's not that kind of love. It's breaking open to that, surrendering to that higher power of love, being in that unconditional place of love. And really, it comes down to being in that unconditional place of loving yourself.
And that's the journey of life, isn't it? That place where we know ourselves as love. And I'm just going to dance with you in our conversation. You know, I don't remember when I first heard Love is Freedom. And when I heard it, it made sense. I felt it. But when I really got it, I think it was very part of last year, that I really got that Love is Freedom. Now, it's not just,
And how do you, what does freedom feel like? What does it look like? What does it smell like? What does it taste like? But those moments where we're in so much pain, we're in so much pain, it's the time where we're being cracked open. Yeah, I think of the birthing process. It's interesting that I find myself use that a lot as an analogy, you know, a mother giving birth. I must be tapping into some past life experience. But it's not just about giving birth to a physical baby. It's about giving birth to ideas or giving birth to self. There are moments where we go through experiences that are just so painful. And those, I mean, those times, that's the time when we're being given a gift. Now, we may not like the rap, but if we can just allow ourselves to be willing to say we're scared, be willing to say, I don't know how, be willing to reach out for help. We get to experience a love that is deeper than words. I've known this to be true. I know this to be true. And, you know, people are talking about 2012 and the change. I really believe right now that energy is speeding up. Now, we're all being invited. Some people still see love as an emotional thing. I'm not going to fall in love or I'm going to stand in love. But you can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. And until you're willing to look at your pain, until you're willing to look at the things that give you the most struggle, it could be a relationship, it could be your children, it could be your job, all those opportunities are opportunities to remind you about who you are. Now, people, you know, like I said earlier, people might think, oh, love, yeah. Oh, what's that thing that, is it Tina Turner that said, what's that song about?
What's love got to do with it?
Thank you. I just put that. What's love got to do with it? I got an answer. Love got everything to do with it. You know, because how do you go from a place, as you were sharing earlier, from a place of being sexually abused to a place where you see love as freedom? Until we're willing to go in that process of forgiveness, we won't know it. What I want to do before we continue, let's go to Jay. Let's see here. Let me go to Jay. And then we also have a question on Facebook from, a listener, archive listener. Let's go to Jay. Jay has a question. Jay called in earlier. Jay from Canada. Hey, Jay, you're live.
Hey there again. Hey, Tammy, how's it going?
Hi, Jay. It's good. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm just listening to the show and regarding beliefs because I got some beliefs that are, you know, from childhood, too, I just wondered, how do we actually get rhythm, or is there a time frame for us to release them, you know, the universal time when that happens?
Because, let me ask you this. I want to do something here, Jay, because earlier when you asked the question, I sense there's a little bit more. Now, only share as comfortable as you feel sharing, but rather than ask sort of is there time, what issue are you trying to shift, and what's the challenge that you're having with it? With that, you get to tap into the heart of the matter, because you say, what time frame? It could be this whole lifetime. It could, you know, let's get specific. What issue are you trying to shift or move through?
Well, it's just a childhood belief that I have.
Okay, which is what?
You know, well, I can't share it over. I'm just going to say it's a childhood belief.
Childhood belief that is causing you pain, that you're struggling with, that you can't wait, you just want to stop believing it, what is it? I mean, if you don't want to tell the whole story, but this childhood belief, tell us about it. What's the challenge you're having with it? You want to get rid of it? It's annoying you, getting your nerves. What is it?
Well, the question I have is, Tammy, is that, is there a divine time when this actually happens and it's the right time for us to release it when we actually, you know, make the choice to do it? So that's basically my question now, is that there's a, because sometimes it may be 20 years ago or maybe 5 years ago, I would like to release it, but maybe it wasn't the right time. Is there a divine time when this actually does happen?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. You know, I don't know if there is a divine time. I think that when you're willing to surrender to it, it is the right time. You know, I was very young. I was very little when the sexual abuse took place. It took me many, 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 many years to get to a place where I could even talk about it. The last conversation, I was 13 years old, when my grandfather made an inappropriate gesture. And my immediate response was I moved and I slapped him across the face and I told him how much I hated him and I told him I wished he was dead. Well, he died that summer of a heart attack 2 months later. Yeah. And I carried that guilt with me for 30 years. So is there a right time? I don't know if there is a right time, but when you're willing to look at it and when you're willing to look at it as a gift, you know, that they say that you have to forgive people who hurt you, and I disagree with that. You know, we're not responsible for the actions and the choices or the teachings of someone else. We're responsible for how we took that in. We're responsible for how we continue to hold on to it. When you look at whatever happened, whatever occurred that put that belief within you, you have the chance, you have the opportunity to look at it now and go, what is it to teach me? What am I to learn? What's the experience that I'm gaining from it? And what is the experience if I just surrendered it? And, you know, I do a lot of teaching. I teach a lot of classes. And I used to always talk about, just let it go, just let it go, just let it go. And one time in my own meditation, I heard myself tell myself the same thing, just let it go. And I said, well, what does that look like? What is it? How do you just let go? Especially if it's something that's been with you for a very long time. But it really isn't just a matter of letting go. It's really just a matter of saying to yourself, I forgive myself for holding on to it. I forgive myself and I surrender that to that higher degree of love. I don't need it anymore. It's not who I am. And then look to see who you want to become, who you want to be if you didn't have that old belief. If it was gone. But, you know, I also, if you're willing to participate, I'd really like to connect to you energetically very quickly and see if it's deeper. I see it as an emotional wound, and I see it really as a kind of like a dirt ball tumbleweed kind of looking thing around your heart. But if you're willing to participate really quick, I just want to see if I can help you find if it's rooted in this lifetime or if it's rooted in a past lifetime.
Sure, you have my permission.
Okay, I just want to connect to you really quick energetically. I'm going to ask you questions, and you can answer yes or no, and if you wish to not answer, it's okay. You can have my email address, and we can chat some more about it if you want.
Sure.
But I get... Your relationship with your mother, Do you feel more of a closeness to your mother than to your father?
I would say no. I'm more close to my mother than... I'm close to my father than my mother, yeah.
You're closer to your father than your mother. Okay, so it's attached to your mother. I just want to take you on a journey really quick. If you just close your eyes with me and just really... get into that emotional pain, that belief, that whatever it is that you're looking to let go of. Because it's rooted in the past, there's an etheric cord. There's like a light channel. There's something that's attached to it. And whether you can see it or whether you can't, just imagine or just pretend that you found it and that you're just following it back to the place where it was created. And just kind of journey back there with me. And even if it seems silly, even if it seems like you're just making it up in your head, just go with what the first thing that comes to your mind. And I want you to watch as you travel down the etheric cord. I want you to take your mother with you. And as you travel back, I want you to see her transition and move into a male form. And I want you to see yourself standing there talking to that male form. And I want you to listen to what that male form says to you right now. There's a message for you. Do you get anything?
I was there, so.
Did you hear or feel any kind of a message or any kind of an emotional release or anything like that?
Well, when I was there, it's like, it's not your fault.
Say that again, Jake.
It's not your fault.
Well, you're saying that's the message you got, you're getting?
Yep.
Okay.
Can you just embrace that within yourself? Just keep telling yourself it's not your fault, it's not your fault, it's not your fault, and then bring that back with you, back up through that ethereal thread and back into your heart, and just bring that, it's not your fault. And then see yourself standing there and really just embrace that it's not your fault. And really just forgive whatever emotion that you attach to whatever the event was, but it's not your fault. And then really feel that love. And you know what? If it hurts, if it brings you pain, then cry. If it makes you sad, then cry. Whatever the emotion is, whatever you're feeling, just let yourself have it. Don't judge it. And then keep telling yourself, I surrender the fault. I surrender the blame. I surrender the whatever the words that come up for you to love. And just keep saying it over and over until you feel that lightness and you really feel that breaking open, that cracking. Mm. That's how you can surrender and transform those old beliefs. We don't need them anymore. They might have served a purpose to protect us from something, but we don't live in that same energetic world anymore. We have this new, beautiful one that's being created, and it's being created through love. What do you feel now? Are you willing to share any of that? Yeah.
I know, right? What's going on in your mind? What's going on in your consciousness?
I'm just pondering it and just
okay. Well, ponder, sit with it. It's an interesting word, but it's not like interesting. You asked your question was, what's the perfect time, or what's the divine time? And what I was going to say, the divine time is when you're ready. It's perfect time. The divine time is always now. And as you said, ponder what you're getting. Sit with that idea that it's not your fault and recognize that you're enough. You know, that there's no time written that we have to deal with a challenge, written in any book. But if you stay aware, if you stay conscious, if you're willing to do the work, if you're willing to just sit more, as the day goes by with what Tammy just took you through, and just listen and just let the answers that what needs to come up, rise up so you can see for what it is and remember and recognize and really get that it's not your fault. You know, even that's freedom. That's true forgiveness. When you allow yourself to experience yourself by releasing yourself from old ideas and false beliefs, forgiveness.
That's what it is. You give yourself the love that you wish you could have gotten from your parents, from your friends, from whoever. You get to give yourself that love. All right?
Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, Jay.
Jay, if you would like to email me at healingsoftheheart@yahoo.com, we can talk more about that if you'd like.
All right,
sure, Jay. Really appreciate it. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome. If you're just joining us, my guest is Tammy McDowell. She is the founder, the creator, the deliverer of Healings of the Heart and Gathering of Love, the master teacher and creator of Next Generation Reiki. We got a question in, that we received Facebook. We're going to take a break, and then we'll answer that. To find out more about Tammy, you can go to Tammy, which website should they find out more? Gatheringlove.com? Is it gatheringoflove.com?
Yeah, either one. You know, Gathering of Love is still really kind of something that I'm birthing. Mm-hmm. Talk about the birthing process. You know, it's funny you said that because I actually teach a class on the whole birthing process. But Gathering of Love is really the newness of an experience that I had last year at my 50th birthday, and I know we'll get to talk about that at some point.
Okay.
But Healings of the Heart, too, is it's my core. It's my soul, I guess. So either one, wherever they choose to go, wherever their heart follows them, let them go.
Okay. Let them go. It's all yours. You can heal your heart while you gather the love. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, Tammy's going to share this amazing experience of being 50 and living life to the fullest. And say, love, here I am, take me. Number 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Press one on your keypad. We're going to go a little bit longer, and but we'll definitely be done by two, whatever. We just go with the flow because that's what we do over here. And we're also taking your questions on Ask Life Coach at a like page on Facebook. And, Ask Life Coach ADE on Facebook. Or you can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. There's an Ask Life Coach at a tab there. You can send your questions. If you don't do Facebook, so we've got everything you need for you to reach and connect with us. We know all is truly well. We're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about a 50 love experience, and then the teleconference Tammy and I are doing, and just 2 days after Valentine's Day. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com, and we are here Monday to Thursday, 12 p.m. Eastern to 1:30 or 2 o'clock. It just depends on what's going on. If the party gets so good and it gets gooder, we'll just extend the party because we can. Because it's all about helping you to change your life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex.
Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media, from my friends.
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is.
So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit forparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community. To the community.
Yes, indeed. Giving a voice back to the world community. And that's the key right there. Community. That's what helps us to break open to love when we're going through that transformational change of heart. That's what we're being asked to create, a community. Yes, we've got to do our own work, but it's important to have a community of people that love us, that will remind us who we are. And I think in the Western world, sometimes we do this separation between, well, you got to do it yourself, you don't need anybody. No, it's like, really, there ain't no anybody. If that makes any sense for the grammar teacher. There is, everybody is you. And there's something about recognizing the oneness that joins us together. There are times when you just cannot get yourself out of the funk, no matter how hard you try. Tammy was sharing earlier about letting go. So you just don't just let it go. You don't know what to let go, how to let go, because the pain is so, it's grabbing you. It's like that pain's got hands and it's grabbing your heart and it feels heavy. And it's so important to have a community where you can reach out to a loved one, somebody who cares about you, somebody who you know will hold you in the light, will listen, will remind you who you are. And if the process is already, it's already here, but we've got to be willing to reach out so we can reach in to the love that we already are. We are the love, but we get to experience it through our connection, through our reaching out. You can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. So in order to experience what you have, you got to give it. So how do you give yourself love when you're feeling pain? You give yourself love and say, I need help. I need someone to lean on. I need a shoulder to cry on. And even though I'm vulnerable, even though I'm afraid, I'm going to reach out. And in that place, you get to experience the love, your true self. Now, you can see it for whether how you want to see it. But one thing I know is this is a soul journey. And change is happening. So many people are going through it and growing through it. And it's time to just do things differently. And Tammy was sharing with us just before the break how she had this wonderful birthday celebration. She's 50, she's free. And, let me just throw it over to you, my friend. Tell us, you were going to share that wonderful experience of turning 50.
You know, talk about a transformational change. I wasn't sure, you know, when I turned 40, I was like, woohoo, you know, my kids are almost all grown up and I'm going to have my own life and I get to do what I want to do. And it went by so quickly, you know, and here I was almost 50 and I thought, what does that mean to me? I don't feel like I'm 50, you know, to me 50 was like old and I was like, that's like grandparent old. And I'm like, I'm not like that, but I'm not old.
Did you say
old? Well, you know, I had my kids young. My oldest daughter is going to be 30, you know, this year. So my mom was 50 when I made her a grandma. So, you know, to me, I don't feel that I'm as old as she was at her age, if that makes sense. And I don't mean any disrespect to anybody. It was my own story, you know. So
right.
I was really kind of not knowing really how I felt. And a very good friend of mine, we met almost 8 years ago, and our birthdays are just a few days apart, but we're 10 years different in age. She's 10 years older than I am. And so we had planned 7 years ago to go to Jamaica for our birthdays, and it just never happened. And so we kept saying, okay, when it's our big birthdays, when I turn 50 and you turn 60, we're just going to go. And so we planned this trip, and we were going to do all these things, and I was so excited. But the closer it came to the time to go, I was like, I had so much resistance. I was looking for everything. I created so many obstacles, so many ways where I could say, nope, I'm not going. I can't do it. I'm not going to go. I can't do it. Nope. You know, you talk about community. You talk about support. I'm so blessed to have such a wonderful spiritual community, family. And so I talked with all of them, and each one had their own separate thoughts and views on whether I should go or shouldn't go. And then what would happen when I got there, and it was like it even kind of sent me more into my own little tailspin of, I want to go, I need to go, I don't want to go, but I know I have to go. And, you know, you talk about the stories that we get, you know, the things that we put ourselves through. But I finally decided, I knew deep down inside that it was something that I needed to do. It was something for me. You know, I've always been the giver. I've always given, and I've never given to myself. And I knew that I had to give this gift to myself. So when I made the commitment to go, I made the statement that I wanted to experience everything. You know what happens when you make that statement, right?
The universe says, woohoo, yes, bring it. All you can
eat. You know, that word everything, sometimes I wish I could take that part back because I just wanted to experience the good stuff. I didn't want to experience any of that painful stuff, you know. But mm-hmm. I struggle with flying because I just have this fear of, I don't know. Anyway, I just struggle with flying. And we left San Diego early in the morning. We got to Atlanta at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and we just kind of all hung out together. There was four of us that went, and my sister and her husband and his sister. And so we stayed the night in Atlanta. We got up early and then went to Jamaica. And the whole time flying down through Florida, you know, I'm kind of going, I just want to get off the airplane. I just want to get off the airplane. I just want to get off the airplane. And then we hit the southern part of Florida, and the water shifted in color. There was these beautiful greens and blues and turquoise, and it was just the most amazing thing. And I knew in that moment that that's when my journey started. And then we flew over Cuba, and, you know, and it was like, I just wanted to duck. It was like, just hurry up and get over Cuba. But then we came to the island of Jamaica, and the plane, it looks like you're flying right at the island, but then it kind of does this bank, and you fly parallel, and then you land. And it was just, the inner part of me just, like, woke up, just like, I'm here. And, you know, when we went to customs and we went through immigration, it was my first time out of the country. So I have my passport out, you know, waiting for her to stamp my passport. And my sister, she's going, yay, your first passport stamp. And I'm going, yay. So the immigration lady, she stamps my passport and she says, welcome home, my lady. Mm. And I was just like, oh, I'm all gushy, right? Then we go on this journey, and we have to get on this little teeny tiny four-seater person airplane. And I'm like, uh-uh, not getting on the airplane, not going to do it. But I did, they made me. And we're flying, and it wasn't so bad. But we're flying, and I look down, and in the water, there was this beautiful full circle rainbow. I've never seen that before. It was so beautiful. It touched me so deeply. It touched my soul. I thought, oh, this is going to be a good trip. But it wasn't until we spent 10 days there, and it was about a week later. Actually, really, it was on the 28th that was the unofficial end of the Mayan calendar, you know, depending on who you talk to and what they believe.
Right.
But it was the 20th of October. And I knew that I was on the island for a reason. So they have this beautiful tree garden. It was just beautiful, these old trees with these roots that were bigger than your body. And they had these hammocks in there, and I knew I just needed to go and hold that space. So I'm laying there in the hammock, and I just felt this amazing, intense energy. And then I felt this pain, this physical pain in my chest, in my heart center. And I really thought I was going to have a heart attack. I really did. That's how intense it was. And I'm laying there thinking, should I call for help? And I'm thinking, no, you know what? If I'm having a heart attack and this is where I die, what a beautiful way to go. But I just went with it. You know, I just chose, I knew something big was happening. And all of these memories and all of these thoughts and all of these feelings of these events that took place in my life, all the pain and all the hurt and the wounds, they just flooded my mind. And I just kept hearing, surrender to love, surrender to love. So I just took them one at a time. As they started to come up, I just took it and I surrendered it. And it must have been, it felt like hours. But it was in that moment of surrender that I literally felt my whole chest and my whole heart just break open. Like it cracked open like an egg.
Mm-hmm.
And this light that just emanated from my heart center up. It was just, it was love, you know? It was just that most beautiful, beautiful feeling of love. And it just stuck with me, you know? It was that event that literally changed my life forever. It was in that transformational process that the whole gathering of love became birthed. And that's part of my mission, you know? It's my purpose now to really help awaken that love and that light in everybody and everyone, because we all have it.
You know, what your story as you tell it and going the journey to getting to that place where you felt that intense love, that there was a point where you felt like you were having a heart attack, it's like, we hear people say, all we need is love. Why can't we just love one another? Love has no color. Sometimes I wonder, even though we say it, are we really ready to allow that love? Are we ready to be that place where love gets to show up? Because love is such a powerful force. It's such an intense energy that when we create the space for it, it will push all the other stuff that don't like it. You know, it's like shining light in a room that hasn't been cleaned for so many years, or maybe even cleaned but not cleaned regularly. You get to see some of the things that are unpleasant. And if we can allow ourselves to die to the old, to die to that moment. Now, love, we use in so many ways. Sometimes when we're looking for a job, and we're thinking, if we can just get the job, we'll be okay. That's an opportunity to tap into the love that we are. If we're going through a relationship breakdown, that's an opportunity to tap into the love that we already are. But the question is, are we going to allow ourselves to be the place where love gets to express and show itself? Because sometimes we blame it on somebody. We blame it on past life. Like, oh, well, I'm going through this. Because we don't even know what we're going through sometimes, because the intellect is just trying to find all kind of labels and interpretation. Oh, my God, it's got to be a heart attack. I'm going to die. But in that moment, you are being made new. You are being birthed into a whole new person. And that's something the mind doesn't understand. And I want to segue into the question from Facebook. About from Patricia regarding, I don't know if it's a love or fear, and I know you got a chance to read it. Let me see. Let's read some of it here. She said, I would like to ask you, and the you was directed at you, Tammy, ask you about an experience that is happening, and I'm unable to understand the real reason for the sadness that overwhelms me. She said she recently, I'm going to paraphrase and tie it together, because it needs to be paraphrased and tied together, but I draw the essence of her question. If you've seen the question, you'll understand. So she said she has recently reconnected with her old love that she found on Facebook. Now, through life circumstances, they were friends, but they separated. Now they're reconnected on Facebook. She said, but somehow, when they have a conversation, she says it's painful that she just starts to cry, and she wants to understand what this is about. She wants to know if it a karma experience. She said, if maybe there's a karma established between both of us, or perhaps. Can they still be friends? Because the experience she's having with this person is invoking so much pain, but she wants to know if this is about karma. Can we be friends? And she said, if
if it can be fixed, or perhaps just be grateful and pray to decode all of it. So she's struggling with a relationship, a love relationship, and she's connected with this guy on Facebook, but it brings up so much pain and so much tears, and she's like, what is this? Is this karma? I don't know. Can we be friends? Because this is too painful. So tell me, what say you?
Well, first of all, I don't believe that anything is broken. I don't believe that we need to fix anything.
I understand.
When you look at the sadness, I believe that our souls are always trying to communicate. I think there are some people who have traveled together in groups, if you will, as souls in previous lifetimes. And I believe that we've come together in this lifetime to heal a core wound.
Can you explain that part of people who traveled together in a soul group, just for people who say, huh, come together where? What? Just explain that little
thing. You know, you heard me, I paused. I almost didn't say it, and I just heard, no, just say it.
Say it, but just, yeah, this is live conversation.
Just do it, yeah.
Go ahead.
When you think of soul group, it's, the soul never dies. The soul lives on forever and ever, and it just moves from vessel to vessel and lifetime to lifetime. And I believe that with the soul, there are certain families, just like we have families here. We have soul families, and we've traveled in groups before, but due to living in a time where we have free will, sometimes the soul will make a different choice, and it's not that it's a right choice or a wrong choice or a bad choice or a good choice, it's just a choice, and the soul becomes separated from its family, from its group, from its origin, if that helps. And I think in this lifetime, our souls are reuniting with their family. We're coming together in our groups, in our communities, so that we can help to raise the vibration and to bring in this higher frequency of love. So when a soul connects with another soul that they have traveled together in many, many lifetimes, when they come together and there's an emotion, then there is the core wound of the soul that needs to be released. So when you look at this person and this person brings you sadness, first of all, cry. Feel that sadness. Don't hold it in. Don't block it. Don't discount it. But just really allow the soul to have whatever experience that it's looking to have. But in the same time, there's an attachment that you have about your own pain and your own wound and your own tears and your own, oh my God, I'm going to just die if I don't work through this. And the physical, sometimes, you know, that sadness and that hurt is so intense that the pain hurts so much. And really what happens is it just forces you, because you really have no other choice, to either hurt and feel that physical pain or just surrender that to love. And I know you're going to hear that a lot, and I know that it might start to sound cliche, but that's where we are in our evolutionary process. We're in this time to just surrender to love, to let go of the story, to let go of the pain, to release whatever it is that stands between you and the love. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if the relationship with your friend was an intimate relationship, whether it was a physical relationship, or whether it was just a friendship. Whatever that wound that is coming up for you, just embrace it and ask for the message. Ask for what it was that it is to teach you, because there's something within you that is at the surface that's ready to be let go of, to be surrendered. And that's why you are ready. That's why it's happening now. I hope that answers the question.
Well, it does for me. But, you know, if you'll let us know, Patricia, there's your answer. And, you know, as you get ready to release the show, that's the real deal. If we, you know, I'm thinking of Jay earlier, the question he asked Betsy and the question he asked you, that whole thing about divine time, changing belief system. The challenge really is about allowing ourselves to see our lives, ourselves, beyond the personality, beyond the physical, to understand that we're here for soul experience, and it's about evolution. And that statement that you said, Tammy, surrender to love, that's what we're here to do. We are one with love. We are an extension of love. We are love, and our journey, our reason for being, our purpose on this planet is to be that love, is to express that love, is to know ourselves as love. Now, we can file it under so many labels and titles and whatever. We can criticize how somebody's showing up. But really, the minute you start looking at how other people are having their soulful experience and criticizing it, you're missing the mark. But and like you, I totally agree, there is nothing that needs to be fixed. The last few days, I've gone through some experience that just like, gosh, I can't shake it. And I think even last week, it just seems like a similar kind of energy. And this morning, I woke up, I was feeling like, all is well. But then suddenly, I start feeling like, you know, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, here comes that feeling again. But allowing myself to actually sit with that feeling, that emotion, to just sit with it and see that that feeling is an expression of God. The conversation, the thought that I've made up about what I'm feeling is an expression of God. And I could choose to see God right where I'm at. I mean, I remember getting out of my meditation thinking, wow, that's the most powerful meditation I've ever had. Now, that may be true or not. But the most important thing for me was I sat with that uncomfortable feeling. Because the suffering that we experience is really coming from the stories that we're telling ourselves. Now, there's going to be pain. There's going to be hurt. The suffering comes from the stories that we're telling ourselves about the pain. And if we can tell ourselves different stories, if we can write our own story and say, no, this is an opportunity for me to heal. This is an opportunity for me to love. This is an opportunity for me to look for the good in this experience, to just trust the process, then we get to experience ourselves differently. And we're getting ready to release the show. Tammy, you and I are doing a teleconference, Breaking Open to Love. What is it? Is it February 16th? Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yes, February 16th.
Yes, so if you're interested in that conference, teleconference, send the email to ask. No, don't tell to ask. Send it to Ade, at lifecoachade.com. Ade at lifeconversationsradio.com. And no. Okay, I got so many emails. Ade at lifecoachade.com. Now I'm really confusing my own self. Ade at lifecoachade.com. Okay, let me think. Ade at lifecoachade.com. There you go. If you're interested, we'll send you some information about it. Is February 16th, so you can register. And we're going to go deeper in supporting you wherever you are and just really shed some more light about the process of surrendering to love, breaking open to love. And we are all being broken open right now on a deeper level. The question is, are you going to say yes? Tammy, before we release the show, is there anything you want to add, share, or say, or anything bubbling up for you?
First of all, I would just really like to say thank you for letting me share this story with your listeners. Second of all, I would really like to invite everybody to join me through the Gathering of Love. Wednesdays, I'm doing a free weekly meditation, and each week is a different topic. Each week is a different theme. We just got started. Last week was our first week. It's also being translated into Spanish as well. So there is a line for the Spanish translation and there's a line for the English translation. But you can register for that Registration is required, but there is no fee. We're doing it as a gift. So you can go to the gatheringoflove.com website, and you can register for that. And Wednesday, we're going to be doing self-love. We're going to be talking about I Love Me Day and all those great things. So
I love me.
Ooh,
I love me. That's the affirmation for today, Tammy. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you for sharing your story, for sharing your experience, and for the work you're doing. I know we're going to be talking soon, in the next minute, in the next hour, or tomorrow, whatever. But we'll talk when we talk. I know that much. Thank you. Life is good. It's getting better. Tammy McDowell, gatheringoflove.com. You can find out more about her. It's time to release the show. It's time to have a new way of being, to allow ourselves to love differently. And it's time to make love sexy. that woo-woo, that love. But really, that's all we're looking for when we're seeking to connect, when we're seeking to have extra money. It's about being able to have the love that frees us. Because love really is freedom. And ultimately, what it all comes down to when it's all done or said and done, that's the phrase, it's about how much did you love? How much did you allow yourself to love? How much did you allow yourself to experience love? We say it's about connection. It's about people hearing and listening. We want to be heard. It's about love. No matter how you put it, it's about love. And call it woo-woo. Yeah, I'm going to woo-woo till I can't woo-woo no more. I'm going to keep the conversation about love, and it shows up in so many ways. Paul Young is going to join us tomorrow, continuing the love conversation from a different perspective. And then we have Karen Hager joining us, connecting you and tapping into the universal love to help you know your answer. And then we have Sherry Cortland on Thursday telling us, reminding us, supporting us to live in the here and now. That's where real love is, in the here and now. It's not in the past. It's not in the future. To experience love is right here, right now. The question is, are you willing to be the love that you're looking for? Are you willing to look for the love? Are you willing to be the love that you don't see in the world? Many people have done it. They were ridiculed or they were killed. But you know what? There is no death, and you're going to die anyway. So you might as well love. what song are we going to play? Let me see.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Yes, we dare you to live your best life. It's all about love. Let's go to Karen Drucker. I was thinking about playing Trust Love by Ricky Byers Beckwith, but then I heard play Karen Drucker because there is only love. There is only love, and where is Karen Drucker? Karen Drucker is somewhere over here, and I'm going to find her in a minute. I release and let go over there. Okay, it's alphabetical. There we go. There is only love. I will see you tomorrow. I love you. Yes, I do. I bless you. I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. Join us tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern, for another episode of Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Thank you all, Celeste. Thank you for what you're doing behind the scene and Celestial Moment. Thank you, Mishy, for keeping it flowing and all the listeners. This is Karen Drucker, KarenDrucker.com, where you can find out more. Okay, hold on one second, Karen Drucker. I want to remind him to be loved and be true to yourself. And be loved. KarenDrucker.com. I'm out of here. There is only love. Peace and blessings.
I can hear. Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.